This is tape one, side two of an interview with Mrs. Vance Robinson, continued at her home the next day on July 24. We've been looking for the last few moments at a photo of your family, which is a wonderful photograph, and would like to get you to tell us some things about the people. First, when was the photograph taken?
This photograph was taken in 1907, here on Vance Street. Really about 5 years, I would say, after the house was built, because it was built in 1902. And this is my great-grandfather, Augustus Thomas Vance, with the Bible on his knee. Mm-hmm. He was the first minister to be ordained at King's Chapel AME Church. Mm-hmm. He was one of the founding fathers. Now, the church was founded in 1869, and Augustus Thomas Vance's father-in-law, Sidney Burt, was one of the founding fathers. And Grandmother Martha, I did know her. I remember, I believe I was about 5 years old when she passed away. Maybe a little older because she passed away in 1942. She has always been described as a strong woman who was very stern and really didn't smile a lot. But she had the kind of strengths that it took at that time to hold a family together. Great-grandfather Augustus was a hard-working man, a farmer, and a minister, and very gentle. My mother said that she believed that she was his favorite grandchild.
Let's do some more on those. Right. You were mentioned the family Bible. Does the family still have the Bible?
Yes. That he's holding? The Bible was last in the hands of James Garfield Williams, who would have been the grandson. Mm-hmm. And he lived in Newark, California, mm-hmm. but he passed away a few years ago.
And it's clearly an old Bible, even in 1907.
Oh, yes. And huge.
Yes.
A huge Bible.
And describe your great-grandmother, if you will, how she looks to you.
My great-grandmother, I do believe, is a true African. She looks African in every sense of the word, which means that Sidney Burt and Cora Burt, her parents, had to also have been Africans. Mm-hmm.
And that apparently was not always typical here in Pendleton.
She was very African, and my great-grandfather, he was just the opposite. Mrs. Cornelia Alexander remembers him very vividly because she said she was converted on a night when he was preaching, and she described him as being a man with a very light complexion and blue eyes. And my mother had described him also the same way.
Do you know any more about your great-grandmother? Obviously, we've got more professional information about your...
All right. Now, she had her father and mother, Sidney and Cora Burt, had five children, and she was the third. She was the third child. In 1870, she was 19 years old. Mm-hmm. And she married my great-grandfather. When she married my great-grandfather, then they moved in with her father to take care of him right here where his blacksmith shop was located at 131 Van Street. And in the will, it is said that he left all of his property to Martha, to her, because she was, quote, kind to him, mm-hmm. unquote.
That's her father's will.
Her father's will, which we have, mm-hmm. because she was kind.
Now, how many children did they have? We'll get the names later, but if you can just tell us.
Mm-hmm. There was a total of, let me see, Emmanuel, Sidney, Stuart, Thomas, Charlie, Freda, Conyers, and Anna Amelia. So that would be 8, but I understand from the census records they had 9. Mm-hmm. There were 9 children when the census was taken on June 18 in 1900. Mm-hmm. They had 8 living children, mm-hmm. but they actually had a total of 9, which means that one of them obviously did not live.
Well, if nothing else, we know she had to have been a very busy woman, simply taking care of the entire family.
Oh, yes, with that many children.
Are there...
And the interesting thing was that when their children married and would come to church on Sunday, they would never allow the children and their families to walk back to the country mm-hmm. without having had a full meal. Mm-hmm. So they would all come here after church, after having attended King's Chapel. And they would cook a big meal, and then they would return home. Also, at the time, King's Chapel did not have a water fountain or running water. And that's why you see the little shelf out here on the front porch. And that's where she kept a bucket with a dipper on the side with some glasses, because she did not like guests coming in and out of the house. So in that way, they would just stop right there on the front porch.
And would these be just casual worshipers going
to? Oh, yes. Yeah,
not
oh,
necessarily
yes.
family, but anybody passing
anyone,
by.
Anyone. And also, it was the same when I was a child. That front porch really has a lot of history, because it has served as a parlor, a guest room, something sort of like the front porch of a boarding house, mm-hmm. where people would come early for church, mm-hmm. and they would sit on the porch and wait for the service to begin.
She sounds like a very generous woman.
Yes.
You mentioned the big dinners.
Very generous, and but she was also very firm. Mm-hmm.
Stern?
Firm and stern, mm-hmm. As I remember. I don't recall a lot of conversation with her, but I do remember that firm, stern look.
You also mentioned the large dinners. Was she known for being a very good cook?
I've never really heard that much about her cooking. I know she did a lot of cooking on the fireplace, mm-hmm. and my mother mentioned the biscuits that would be prepared, and it seems that you would have to dust the ashes off the biscuits after they had been prepared, after they were ready to eat. And I remember my mother said she didn't like those biscuits at all.
Mm-hmm. What about handwork and sewing?
I'm not so sure about that. I'm not quite sure how adept she was with the needle.
Do you have any possessions that belong to your great-grandparents, Augustus?
Yes, well, other than the pictures, there are a few pieces, like a few candy dishes. Mm-hmm. And there is a set of china with the blue, with the turkey, let me see, the serving platter, and some plates, mm-hmm. and a couple of her goblets we still have. And also her rocking chair, which is downstairs in the basement. It's in need of repair, but it's very large. It's the kind of rock. It's not one of those front porch rocking chairs. It's oak, covered with leather, and it's really quite massive.
And not dainty, as we tend to think sometimes of ladies' chairs.
No, this one was rather masculine in appearance.
She looks in the photo like she was not fat, but a large-framed woman.
Yes.
Of course, with a very wide skirt, mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to
yes.
tell. But mm-hmm. seems to have broad shoulders and...
Everyone on this picture has passed away mm-hmm. out of it. They're 14. Mm-hmm. 12 adults and 2 babies. And the last survivor on this picture is the baby on the front row, mm-hmm. Walter Vance, Sr. And he passed away last December.
And that's
1989.
Baby being held in the lap
right,
in the center.
Of Sidney Vance.
Mm-hmm. This photo, by the way, will be in the collection of the Black Heritage Project, so anybody will be able to look at it and identify it.
Okay, we have a series. There have been five Sidneys
mm-hmm.
in this family.
Mm-hmm.
He was not the first Sidney. He was the third Sidney. He was born in 1883. There was Sidney Burt Sr., who was born in 1825, Sidney Burt Jr. in 1862, Sidney Vance in 1883. And then in my generation, there are two Sidneys, Sidney Sylvester Vance and another Sidney in California.
A treasured family name.
Yes.
Let's go through the back row and in reverse of usual order. Let's start at the top right.
All right. Now, the unfortunate thing about this picture is that one person is missing. And I had looked at this picture many times and just discovered a few years ago that there is a woman's hand resting on this man's shoulder. And she was Stuart Vance's wife. I understand she was a very beautiful woman. And in some way, her picture, she was on the end, and in some way it was either bent, she was either removed, or it was just disappeared accidentally.
I know very little about
the hand.
See
the hand on his shoulder?
I know very little about the technology of photography, but if you look all the way around, there is not a straight line border, but the border is jagged.
Yes.
And it is at the top right where the border somehow, for whatever reason, as you're saying, cuts her out.
Yes, but it's such a neat cut.
Mm-hmm.
The other edges are there.
Mm-hmm. But not sharp. It bumps up there
That's the photography there. You know, that's the, but her whole face
mm-hmm.
has just disappeared from mankind. I wish that it there.
Okay, the man
this
in the
is all right.
Right.
Thomas Vance. Now, Uncle Thomas was born in May 1886.
Mm-hmm.
He married Pauline Williams Vance. And they have a large family, I believe, five daughters and two sons. And Aunt Pauline passed away in February this past year, his wife. But he passed away earlier. This is Aunt Frieda. I never knew her. She died in 1917, I understand, of flu. This is Uncle Emmanuel. Uncle Emmanuel was a bachelor. He lived here with us all of his life. And he was the sexton at St. Paul's Episcopal Church, and he also pumped the organ while Louise Hunter played the music.
And there's also an individual photograph of him in our collection as well that you've
allowed
us to copy.
Yes. And this is my dear, dear, dear Mother Conyers.
Mm-hmm.
She was a teenager here. Conyers Vance Williams. She had two children, but she reared a total of nine.
Mm-hmm.
There were She always had a line of children walking behind her. She just loved children. She reared my mother and me. She passed away in 1972. This is Aunt Rebecca and Uncle Sidney. This is her husband here.
Sidney is
row.
Sitting below
Sidney Vance,
her.
Right, uh-huh. And she's holding Cousin Gus.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle Sidney is holding Walter.
They're mm-hmm. two of their children.
Right.
And did they have additional children
oh,
at
yes.
a later date?
Oh, yes. Several.
So those would have been the youngest.
They would have been, no, these would have been the oldest.
That's right, I'm sorry.
The oldest. Right, uh-huh.
And do you think they would have been the oldest of Augustus and Martha Vance's grandchildren? They're the only children in the photo.
Yes. They definitely would have been the oldest mm-hmm. of all of them. Well, Uncle Stuart and his wife, I understand, had no children.
Mm-hmm.
This is my grandfather, this handsome man here, Reverend Charlie Burgess Vance. Now, this picture was taken before he even met my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Aunt Anna. She lived in Georgia. And this was her husband.
Okay.
At the time, Jack Lloyd was his name. Mm-hmm. She had three husbands, Jack Lloyd, and when he passed on, then she married a Lee, Marion mm-hmm. Lee. And then when he passed on, she married a Watson. Mm-hmm. And she was a Watson at the time when she passed away mm-hmm. in the early 40s. She is the only member of the family who was not a member of the AME Church.
Mm-hmm.
She was a member of the Apostolic Faith.
Was that her?
She always wore long dresses.
Was that a decision influenced by her husband's religion or one that she...
I don't know whether it was or not, but you see here she's holding her little Bible?
Yes.
Yes. She always wore long dresses.
I think it is very significant that
yes.
two people in this photograph are holding Bibles,
Bible.
Which is a statement both about the religious faith and about their literacy.
Yes.
Obviously very educated.
Oh, yes. And Anna, and of course you saw the little book where he kept a record of his account
yes.
at Haunted Store. And this is Stuart Vance. And my mother said that they called him Uncle Dandy. And this is his wife, whose face has been removed from the picture, but we still see her hand on his shoulder. His death was very unfortunate when he was young. A storm was coming up and he was going under the house that was where they kept chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going under the house to collect the eggs and he was struck by lightning mm-hmm. and died.
And we also have a photograph mm-hmm. of him.
Yes.
And he is sitting on the far right.
Right. I understand we have a cousin mm-hmm. whose last name is Wheaton. And Russell Wheaton,
mm-hmm.
who lives in Belgium,
mm-hmm.
he's a fashion designer. And I understand he is the very image of this man.
You mentioned before that Aunt Amelia and Jack Lloyd, were living in Georgia.
Tocoa, Georgia, yes.
Let me ask first about mm-hmm. her apostolic faith. Were there any churches of that kind in this immediate area in South Carolina?
There was one here. They didn't call it the Holiness Church. I mean, they didn't call it the Apostolic Church. It was called Holiness, and some referred to it as Sanctified.
Mm-hmm. Would that be of the same denomination as the Holiness Church in Seneca? There was a Tabernacle Holiness
sure.
Church there.
Well, I think of Holiness Church as a church where the tone of the service is very charismatic,
mm-hmm.
very emotional. People move from their seats, they jump, they shout. They clapped their hands, and Aunt Anna was very, very prim. She did not believe that girls should wear shorts. Even when we would be running around in the yard playing, when we were little kids, we would have on our little shorts and little summer outfits, and she just thought that was awful.
Did she ever wear jewelry?
She wore a watch. She wore a solid gold watch.
But nothing
chain.
Else.
Nothing else.
My
no.
grandmother, who would have been a little bit older than her, in the
uh-huh.
1890s joined the Wesleyan Methodist Church, which shared many of the characteristics and values that you're talking about with Aunt Amelia.
Uh-huh.
Well,
she always lived, from the time that I was born, she always lived in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that I've even searched the records at the National Archives in Washington, D.C. and I have never been able to find her name listed with all of the other children in any of the census records. And I think maybe she moved away from home maybe when she was very young.
I interrupted you before. Was there a Holiness Church in or around Pendleton?
There maybe not at that time.
Mm-hmm. Did any of the rest of the family leave the Pendleton area besides Anna and Amelia?
No. All of the others remained here.
Mm-hmm.
It was the upcoming generations mm-hmm. that did leave.
Your great-grandfather, Augustus Vance, was a farmer.
Yes.
Did
he? And he was quite literate. He was also the They had two trustees at the little colored school. We have this information right here. It was called the Colored Schoolhouse, which was right next door here to our home place. And he, my great-grandfather, Augustus Thomas Vance, and Tinus Winston, were the first trustees of that school. And I'm wondering, I'm going to check on some information about this Joe G. Vance, that this deed is signed by MacPhail, Marie MacPhail, and Annie H. Garrington. And this Joe Vance, who signed this deed, might have had some kind of relationship to my grandfather. My great-grandfather signed March 9th, 1880.
That becomes so difficult to tell because I've done some work comparing black surnames with white surnames in Pendleton in that 1868 voter registration, and on the whole, they don't match up.
So, oh, really? I've never seen the Joe G. Vance before. I've seen some other Vances. I have a list here that I obtained from the Library of Congress.
And those people are listed here.
There's so many of them.
As witnesses on the deed. Joe Vance and the other.
Right.
Yes.
Now, this list that I have here, I obtained this August 2nd, 1979. There are 12 Vances listed here, but only two owned slaves. That was Thomas Vance and Nicholas Vance. Have to check their plantation records.
Let's look at the photograph a couple more times.
Oh, sure.
One, the found the hairdos of the women interesting, particularly the back row. How would you
ribbons.
Describe? Yes.
Yes. Now they are the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
They're the youngest. See, this Freda was born in 1890, and Mother Kindness was born in 1892. So they're the youngest ones.
Mm-hmm.
And they are wearing those big ribbons, sort of bouffant hairdo in the front. They are really wearing their very finest, the high ruffled blouses, probably a black skirt here.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Kindness. Aunt Freda probably is wearing a black skirt too. But they're proud, aren't they?
Yes.
And they're well dressed and they're wearing three-piece suits. You notice that?
Yes. Your great-grandmother, I believe, is wearing a solid dress.
Yes.
Anna Amelia is wearing a suit, and then
yes.
The other three ladies are wearing the blouses and skirts. And as you say, all very
the younger ones.
Nicely dressed.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that intrigues me, you said that the photograph was made in 1907. How is it that you happen to know the date?
Let me see. My great aunt has Vance family written on here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not sure if that was on the back, because we can't get inside this frame. I'm not sure if that was on the back or how we arrived at that date. It may have actually been on the back picture.
It is unusual and very good that you're able to date it so accurately because many old pictures are difficult unless there's some written records that accompany
them. Now, for an example, with the school, the pictures that were taken at the school in 1925, well, all of that's supposed to be here now. Okay, here they are. Now, see, my aunt had written on the back of here. All right, see, she wrote Charlie Williams, 1925.
Mm-hmm.
And that all of them were taken in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
There it is right there, 1925. It has almost faded. This was the first grade. This is my grandfather's writing.
Mm-hmm.
That's his V.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
First grade. And this was Mrs. Cora Reed, who taught the first grade. Some of these, the faces really haven't changed on many of them. This young man, I would say that many of them have passed on. Mortimer White, right there. And this is a Keesley. I believe this is a Gant. I think this is a Jackson. And I think that many who would look at this picture would find someone on here that they recognized. Now this one, that's my mother, right here on the end. And when that was her friend, Daphne Washington. And my mom was valedictorian of her class when she graduated from high school, and she went on to Allen University. And my great aunt, who reared the two of us, was also valedictorian of her class. And I do wish that I had taped her speech, because when she came to visit us in Detroit in 1972, she stood there in the kitchen, and I've known her all my life, and we'd never talked about this. And something came up, a neighbor was visiting, and she said, well, you know, I remember my valedictory speech. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time I'd even heard that she was valedictorian in class. And she stood there, and she recited that speech with all the gestures and everything. It was just beautiful, and it was unfortunate that I didn't tape it. And this is Mrs. Mamie Crawford, Mrs. Mamie Winston Crawford, who was actually one of the daughters of Tina's Winston, who was one of the women. I think she taught school here in Felton for about 40 years, fourth and fifth grade.
Well, we will ask you very soon to let us copy these, and also we'll make some Xerox copies, and then we can label the people who can be identified.
Oh, yes. Well, what I can do, I can take this picture out to the church and put it up someplace, and then people can help with this.
Well, we will move on in just a few moments to your grandparents, but first, are there any other of Augustus Vance's children that you want to tell us anything more about? Particularly, I would assume, Conyers Williams.
My mother Conyers.
Yes.
As I said, she had two children of her own, but she reared a total of nine, including my mother and me. She instilled within us a sense of morality. There was never anything crude or profane that took place in this home. The education was her focus. And I think that's why probably all of us went to college. To tell you the truth, going to college was no big issue. It was just something that you did after you finished high school. It was a way of life, just like sitting down to the table having a meal. You know, that's no big issue. You must eat. And it was just the sort of thing that we did. My mother, we always had books. We were always surrounded by books. And we never sat on the front porch idly. There was nothing wrong with sitting on the front porch. But we had to be doing something. You were either reading or you were doing something constructive. You never just sat there and watched the world go by. That was just not our way of life. And we never left the house without having a full breakfast. Always on Sunday morning. Well, of course, that was Sunday school and church. The church was the center of our lives. I never recall missing Sunday school. I never recall missing church. And we were healthy, other than maybe a few colds here and there. But she was a real mother. You know, it's interesting. She's standing in the center on this picture. That's very symbolic. She's standing here in the center on this picture. And she is the one who held this family together. When someone passed on, they brought the children to her. And she just kept them and reared them. She's buried in the Peter Webb Cemetery.
Where is that located?
That's out right out Cherry's Creek Extension. Could you come back and listen?
Why do you think that Conyers, of all of the children, was the one that was so critical in holding the family together? What gave her these characteristics?
Mother Conyers not only was a very strong person, but she was also a very intelligent lady. I remember we talked about when she gave her valedictory speech, and people would come here, not only family members, but when they had questions about their taxes or anything that involved thinking, you know, important business, they would come and have her explain it to them. She would read their letters to them and explain what it meant. If they had business to take care of that involved even making a phone call, sometimes many of these people had maybe had no phone. I remember, I think we were about the first or second family in town that had a phone. And they would confide in her because they knew that she would not repeat. And I couldn't understand when I was a child, people were always coming here, consulting with her about something. And we never knew.